was wonderful what you were saying tonight.
Where is he now? He went back to God. He finished the work the Father gave him to do. Now he's living in heaven and carrying on his unfinished work. Living there at God's right hand for us. And the next thing is, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. May the Lord then add his blessing on the few remarks. I put something on the paper here, and the name is Kester. Kester, the man, is here. Some years ago, 10 years ago, I was in his town with my wife, well and strong and happy. And in those early days, my wife was saying, now listen, don't preach your heart out. I had a little voice then, it's gone now. And I would preach so that people would hear me. And she said, I don't want to be left here alone, and you gone. But one night, when I was in the town of her brother Kessner, she died in a night. Died in a night. We had retired for the night. We were staying with a cousin of ours. And she said, now listen, tomorrow's Sunday. And you'll get your bath first. Takes me a little longer and so on. I have to fix my hair and so on. But, and came in and it was a twin bed. So I was in bed, I think, probably snoozing. But anyway, she got in bed. And next morning I looked over and the cupboard was just up about part way under. There her two hands were out like this. And I hopped out of my bed and went over and I put my hand on hers. It was cold and dead. Bunch of quail and he shot them and all. We thought we'll have a good dinner tonight with his wife and so on. While he was getting ready for the cooking, the game warden came along. And he said, well, what are you doing? He said, well, we're going to have a feast tonight. He said, you know, I spied some quail and I shot them. And he said, and mister, and I'm the game warden. He took the man and his wife and his mother was silent. And a few of the short days, Otto got saved, his wife got saved, he was saved religiously. Well, here we are now. I'm going to read a verse or two from the book of Ruth, and we will look at chapter 1, and we will look at verse 1. And I read it. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges rule, judges are severe. They are very severe. Judges rule. And I tell you, I don't even like the judges. But anyway, see what followed. Then it said there was a famine in the land. They were not feeding the people. Judges demand certain pay for what they do. They were not feeding the people. Hear this once again. A famine in the land. Well, there was a man living there, and he didn't like the famine. So what did he do? Well, he took his wife, and he took his children, and he went down to Moab. Just for the journey. But he remained there 10 years. And during that 10 years, one son died, and another died, and he died, and the next thing was, there were two widows, and his wife was living. Now she said, I'm going to return back to my own country. I'm going back. One of the wives of one of the sons said, I'm going with you. Whether thou goest, I will go. Where thou diest, I will die. She saw in that one something of God. I want to be where you are, and if I go back with you, I'll learn something. Well, she went back, and let me tell you something. God used that woman mightily, and others have read the same story from the Word of God. Others have received the Savior, and he's in the saving field. God, listen again to this. Well, we have in the next part of verse 2. And he gives us the name of the children, Elimelech, the name of his wife, Naomi, wonderful name, which means pleasant. When she returned after being gone so many years, why, they said, Naomi's returned. She said, call me not Naomi. Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter. Bitter is the meaning of that word. The Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Well, here we are today. Sometimes it takes the bitter dealings of God that men and women might be awakened as to their condition. We are born lost. and we need to be born again. And listen, if you're here today, and if you've had, I know you all had the first birthday, but how about the second? When was I saved? Where was I saved? How was I saved? Well, God doesn't always use the same scripture in dealing with men and women, but He uses the same Savior. The Savior. And from the book of Genesis to the end of Malachi, and from Matthew to the end of the book of the Revelation, there's a Savior. And the Word says, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Sinners, sinners Jesus will receive. Has He ever received you? Have you ever received Him? Remember, we're passing this way at once. If you're failing in this life, you're going to fail Him through all eternity. If in this life you accept the Savior, we'll meet you in the kingdom of God. God loves you. He sent His Son down from heaven, sent Him to Calvary. He gathered up the sins of humanity, and He laid on Him the sins of all. When He had by Himself purged our sins, then He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on the... He's in heaven tonight. In heaven today. And that one is looking on this little congregation. Probably saying, David, you're a poor preacher, and rightly so. And I can think of many, many times people have sat under the sound of the gospel. When God took that word, and by the Holy Spirit awakened the people in the congregation, and made them cry out, what must I do to be saved? I think of it at the end of a conference. I was talking to one man and my brother John talking to another just standing close by. When the man I was talking to, now he said, don't tell me salvation isn't feeling. He said, I saw that man get saved. I saw him get saved. His face lighted up and he was happy. All right, I said, let's go. Come on over. So John and the other man that we went over, I said, will you tell this man here what happened to you tonight? Yes, he said, gladly. And he knew him well. He said, I accepted Christ that died for my sins, and he said, I rejoice in the fact he's my Savior. Now he said, if you do the same, you can rejoice more. He didn't get saved that night, but in a few short weeks, the other man got saved. Now look, but don't keep putting off and neglecting the salvation of your soul. That could mean eternal loss, eternal ruin. But if today you have a pair of ears, and you have an open heart, listen. He said, come unto me. He's the Savior. And he said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Do you want rest? Do you want peace to your soul? I will give you rest. That is provided by the God of heaven. And when you receive Christ, you'll have rest and peace and joy and salvation. In this story, even calling our attention to, I'll just hit the highest spots of one or two verses here. We're going down to verse 8 of this chapter, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each of you to her mother's house. Go back where you belong, and I'm going to get out of here. There was one of the twain, and she said to her mother, and she said to my father, now we are going to pray that God will give us a son that will be a gospel preacher. But He gave us one and two and a half, one beside, and that's me. And the two of us, sometime we make one man. Well, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and know it, and to be saved and sure. I can think of the eldest brother of our family, young like me, went to the gospel meetings, and dear old Johnny Knox, the man I just mentioned, preaching, not at the same time, not in the same meeting where I got saved, but same man. And he said to my brother, Will, are you saved? No, I'm not saved. No. Would you like to be saved? Well, he said, even if I did, I don't know how to get saved. But he said, let me read you this. Listen to what God said to him. And he read a verse of scripture. And he said, oh, I see it right now. It's all in Christ. It's not me at all. It's in Christ.
And in a few short months after that, less than a month, he had intended to make a trip to Scotland in his 20s. He said, I'm going to Scotland. And he made that trip to Scotland on the bank. I wasn't saved at that time, so we got out there with a gang of boys, you know, at night, and I said, boy, listen, I want to tell you something. My brother Will realizes he's making a trip to Scotland, so if the boat happens to sink, he'll go up. And they'd have a good laugh at my brother Will's expense, and we thought that was a joke. Willie got saved because he didn't want, if the boat went down, then he'd go up. But let me tell you, when he returned, I shared part of the bed with him. I can't tell you how many nights in my life I'd see the seekers in the bed. Why? I knew if the Lord came, my father would go, and Willie would go, and I wouldn't go. I was lost, and I didn't know how to get saved. But at the end of the meeting, Johnny Moffat read again, John 5:24. He not heareth my word. Now he said, David, he's hearing what God has to say. What does he say? I say unto you. To whom is he speaking? Well, I said, I suppose me. That's right. Then what does he say? He that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. As that verse was read and gone over that night, for the first time I said, well, I'll accept him right now as my Savior. I'll accept him right now as my Savior. From then to now, I've had the knowledge of sins forgiven. I've been on my way to heaven. And listen, I'll soon be there. The first 100 years, as I say, is the worst. And I'll soon be there. Getting up in years, the Lord, think of God sparing me 60 years and 10 is all he promised. Get there before scold and labor and sorrow. But it's not all sorrow either. Now, I'm 85, had my 85th birthday. What do you think I want? Lord, I say every day, if there's any time left, I want it for you. You said, but you can't preach very good. No, but I can give out a gospel paper. And I can read John 3:16. And I can tell them Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And would you be surprised? Well, here's Otto Davis and his wife at our meetings. They heard that story. They believed that story. And now Otto and his wife are telling that story. He won't let her get on the platform. He likes it too well. But anyway, they went up into Alaska and spent a number of years up there trying to get the word of God and the way of salvation to the people up there, and God used his word. That word is powerful. That word, when it's preached, will awaken. That word, when it's received, will produce salvation. Have you all been saved? You see, I'm a gospel preacher if I'm anything. Not trying to teach God's people I know so little myself. But the way of salvation I can tell. And the way of salvation, I can make plain enough that many have been saved. And so, here we are today. I hope and trust and pray that every member in this little feeding house today has a time when I got saved, and a place when I got saved, and a how I got saved. There was a young girl, and she was a maid in a preacher's home. So she went to a gospel meeting one night. She was hearing the gospel being preached. So she went. The man was preaching on, when did I get saved? Where did I get saved? How did I get saved? So the next day, whether she got saved the first night or not, but God saved her. Then the man she was a preacher that she was working for, now she said to him, I got everlasting life. I'm saved and all I go to, and all my way to, he said, tut, tut, Mary. Nobody can know that. She hardly knew how to answer him. But you went back to the meeting again, and I was still preaching, hearing, believing, and having. So one day she said, called the other preachers another. I need a little help on the scripture. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. She said, that little word hath is what's troubling me. Why, he said, Mary, that shouldn't trouble anyway. That means you've got it. He just trapped himself. Well, she said, that's what I've been telling you. I've got him. So the man said, hath everlasting life? I don't have everlasting life. I thought I'd just have to wait and see if I lived right and died right, then I might go to heaven. So he went out to hear the new preacher. When he went out, still preaching in John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. So he got his Bible, hath. What does hath mean? Well, he said, I don't have everlasting life. I don't have everlasting life. But again he went, and with the help of his maid, going over the Word of God, he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he'd been preaching, I think they said, 15 years. There's such a thing as having profession and not possession. And here we are today, saved or lost. If you're saved, you can thank the God of glory. If you're lost, you ought to cry out, Lord, what must I do to be saved? I need the Savior. From what I have been going over, I touched a few verses here, and I just want to read one more, and then I'll say amen. It's time to go. I closed my Bible, and I'm having a hard time to find the verse. I'm getting closer all the time as I see the judges. The book of Ruth, once again, and it's, if you had a Scofield Bible, it's on page 315. And if you haven't got a Scofield Bible, it's in the book of Ruth, and it's chapter 1. And we're going to just read this, and then I'll say amen. Verse 16, we may have touched on this. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Speaking to our mother-in-law who was pushing her back. Go back to your people. Go back to your people. Entreat me not to leave thee, or return from following thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. I hope you're all saying that at the present time. Thy God shall be my God. He wants to be the God of everyone in this room. The Savior of everyone in this room. And when I think of the love of God to a world like this, I wonder how he could ever do it. When I think of the love of God to a wretch like me, how could he ever do it? But he's God. And he's a God of love. And that love was manifest at Calvary. When God the Father laid the sins on his Son on the cross. When he died under the load of our sins. Then he heard words like these. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That he might not forsake you. He wants you, you, you. If you'll have him now, you can find yourself saved on the way to heaven. Receiving, believing, trusting. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine understanding. There was a young lady came where my brother John was preaching. It was in a house having just a Bible reading. And she was a Sunday school teacher and so on. It centered these conventions. And so when they were speaking about being saved and having eternal life, she just laughed at that. And so she said, and she came 1, 2, 3 nights, and she said, well, at least they're preaching the word of God, but I'm going to prove to them they are wrong. And where will I turn? She opened her Bible. Her eye fell on this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. Lord, she said, I was trying to make a savior out of myself. I've never yet to this very night trusted in him with all my heart. Here and now, alone before God, I accept Christ as my savior. Next night she went to the gospel meeting. My brother John said at the end of the meeting, well, I know you're not saved or you'd have told me. She said, I know you're mistaken, because I got saved last night. How did you get saved? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And when you put your trust in him, he'll make everything right with you. Shall we pray? O God, our Heavenly Father, we come to thee to give thee thanks for the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We wish we could speak better of him. We wish we could make that word so plain that not one member here would leave in their sins. But our Heavenly Father, the love of God is the greatest love because he loved the world. And then he gave his Son the greatest gift that ever was given to this world. And we say, oh, the price the Father paid, oh, the sacrifice he made. Who can tell the matchless worth of the poorest soul on earth? We ask thy special blessing now as we leave this place. May the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow be the happy portion of all present here at this time. We ask it now, giving thanks in his name. Amen.